What's happening, guys? Welcome in. It's time for the Waffle Mafia podcast again. What's up, Joito Josue? Shout out to you, good sir. Thank you for joining us live, jumping in the chat, talking, y'all doing what you do. Good to hear from you, sir. Glad things are going good. Thanks for stopping on over at Lucky Legends Neighborhood. So we're going to get together tonight, guys. Going to do a little bit of podcast. Do our normal rundown, our weekly waffle wrap-up of the things that have been going down in the Masters community, the things that we've done this past week. So this is your one-stop shop to jump in and see what's going on with the Waffle Mafia and what that means and what we do. So as we always do, let's pause for the calls and let's get it in. And we'll kick this sucker off, my friends. What's up, Alexander Kent? Welcome in, buddy. Glad you could make it. Jeff, what's happening, buddy? Yeah, you know what it'd be. A little pause for the calls that I owe you. You see? So tonight, in honor of Mr. Scareglow himself, John Itis, sent in the box. So if any of you guys saw the live that I did last night, we did a live over at Scareglow's house. Shared that over at Lucky Legends or uploaded the video here too. So that you guys could see what Mr. Itis wants to do. So he sent a box over. I didn't know much about it. Opened it up live. And the focus of the box is Scareglow. So wanted to come on tonight, talk about Scareglow, talk about the stuff that's been going down this past week, all that good stuff. But also talk about Scareglow as a character, do our character profile, run it down, and then get out your way. So inside that lovely box was this gentleman right here. Oh my word, guys, Scareglow, oh so beautiful. And for anybody who's listening to the podcast at a later time, I apologize that you cannot see this ghostly gloriousness for yourself. And you just have to imagine this here toy up on the shelf. But good old Scareglow, that is what it be. And is he the ghost of Skeletor? Is he Karrock Nul? Or is he just an alien ruler? Be, you know, I don't know. He likes to chain it, make it do what it do. And he's carried around this old key, too. So we'll talk about that. Get into that. We'll talk about Scareglow here in just a few. But I wanted to give you the reason that we're making it do what it do. So, Alexander, I know it's your first time in the podcast, first time jumping in and learning what we're doing. I tell you, buddy, tomorrow night for Thirsty Thursday, there's a storm brewing because everybody's going to be ready to jump up in this one. And that's cool because it's going to be all good. Because we got our graces from Mr. Scareglow to have some fun in the hood. So, originally, this figure was going to be done for the end of the month waffle for Scareglow's birthday. So, if nobody knows who I'm referring to, I'm talking about Scareglow over Scareglow's place. That's John Itis. And John has a page group called Scareglow's House. And you want to check that out. Lives and family and all that good stuff. But John, super giving guy. And so he sent a box over and challenged us here at Lucky Legends to do a waffle at the end of the month on his birthday, which is the 31st. And this Scareglow was included to do this one for the end of the month waffle. Well, for those of you that don't know what waffles are, you're in the right place because over here we'll just whisper about it. Tomorrow you get a taste, but it's where we all get together. We have a little gathering. We drink a little beer, and we pause for the calls and say a rhyme and drink beer. We have waffles, drink beer, and listen to a few little tunes, and we drink some beer, and some beer we consume. So, hey, guys, it's a pause for the calls. Thanks for hanging out with me. This is the Waffle Mafia Podcast, and it be what it be. You know it's bad when Jonathan's already drinking beers like that during the podcast. So I got some Martha Stephen I brought with me. Went ahead and brought the rest of the case. There it be what it be. What's happening, Charles Ross? Should be there anytime. You're talking to Lewis. Yeah, what's going on? What's up, JD Gibbs? What's happening, my man? Did Draven get in here? I don't know. I've not seen that yet. I don't know if he made it in. Yeah, waffle is a bit of a metaphor. It's just a play on words. It's something we serve them up. They're hot and fresh. And griddle them with extra syrup. And that's what it be. And so after tomorrow night, you'll want to come back for Syrupy Saturday. But we'll talk about that in just a second. So we're going to do the weekly waffle wrap-up, do a rundown, talk about what went down this past week in the Waffle Mafia, because I've got to keep this thing on time or Mama's going to bust my head and end my rhymes. So is light low-carb or low-alcohol content? Jeff, I can assure you that it is not low-alcohol content. Actually, this is an interesting factoid on Miller Lite, and I don't know if you guys, you know, just picked this up from the podcast, because we like to do little FFs around here, these little fun facts, but Miller Lite, L-I-T-E, is not actually a light beer. It is actually a full-flavored Pilsner, but it was spelled in a marketing ruse, L-I-T-E, so that it could better compete with the light beers that were actually being pushed to the mass in the market. However, if you look closely into the contents of Miller Lite, what you will find out is that it is 96 calories, which is the lowest next to Ultra or Bud 55 if you just really want to crack it. But that's on 12 ounces. You got 96 calories and 4.2% alcohol. So not only will this punch you in the mouth, it helps your waistline look good. I mean, tastes great, less filling. That's what it be, and that's my promotion for Miller Lite. So, guys, Doug, oh, God, the producer go kill me, man. We'll have to cut that part out of the show. I apologize for doing Miller Lite commercials, bro. But this is one of my. It is my favorite beer. I don't know that you guys have ever seen me drink anything else, except for that one night I got real desperate and things got really bad and started slumming a little bit and got into the Natty Lights. But, you know, everybody goes there a time or two in college, you know what I mean? 4.2, yep, low alcohol, you U.S. wimps. You know that's right, man. Now, we have craft beers. We have craft beers that that actually have a really high alcohol content. This is a master's podcast. So our Eternian lagers, actually here in the U.S., it's just we drink more of them, bro. I mean, really, I mean, we just drink more of them. So I don't know. It's bad for the liver, but it is what it is. Increases the number of times you must whiz, so... Oh God, guys, I'm so glad we're not doing Scare Glow tonight, because I would probably give away this entire house. So you know, strap the baby down. He's giving away babies. Dan's already accused me of that last week. But hey, how about let's get back to the show. It's Thirsty Thursday's what we're doing tomorrow, yo, but we did it last week. Let's get a rundown on that. Just Jolt Cola is my drink. Can't do the alcohol Hulk smash. I hear you, man. Hey, man, you don't, as we have said many times in the past, you ain't got to drink to party, baby. You have your Coke, brother. It's whatever your drink of choice. That's fine. Johnson will tie it up and make it rhyme. So we did an Alcala Skelly, went out to Mr. Hendricks, did a three-piece Skelly that went out to Draven. Z-Wheel has Swing and a Miss, Intergalactic Skelly, D-Lo Underwood, Scorpion out to Magnus for Mags. So we did one of those Scorpions, those vintage Scorpions. Did the Sub-Zero, too. That went out to Bradley Smith. Let's see what else we got. Eternity War, sent it out to Boogie. Syrupy Saturday, we did that Stratosy style. So we did the Naked Birdman on Saturday night. Travi Wills mopped that one up as he's been mopping up most. Pop Stratos to Cullen Cup. Ultimate Loser Wheel. So we did a countdown wheel. We did sort of a loser wheel this time where each time that we ran it, it eliminates a piece, and we just ran it down to let it be what it be. And ended up with Artemis both times. So I feel like there was some sort of strange collusion on that ultimate loser wheel. No, what we did, which was really dumb, I think we left the time the same on it both times. So if it started in the same place, rolled the same number, I don't know. We've tried to make a connection, but it doesn't happen, bro. So ultimate loser wheel, already got a hold of that. That was the ultimate He-Man classics. Also did Pop Stratos, or we spun for that one again. That went to T. Willie. Sweet Baby Merman, Merman Pop, and a Merman Lego to John Wise, the Wise Guy. Artemis won that banner. Mr. Itis won a Beastman. Ruddy Rudd got the hashtag Ben Trousdale edition. And if you guys haven't heard about the hashtag Ben Trousdale edition, you definitely want to go back and check that out. Oh, my goodness. I went back and listened to that waffle, and I was just like, my God, why do they let me do this? Why do they let me do this? Damn it, Johnson. But so anyway, Paul Rudman and his saintly self donated his stuff over to Stevie Max. So that was pretty cool. Rudd came in because we did a Suddenly Sunday. We just popped up and did a quick waffle. I said, hey, man, we're going to do, you know, at the top of the hour, we're rolling this bad boy after Johnson makes you wait for 15 minutes. And then so Ruddy won all three times. So he just absolutely wiped it up, and he sent that win over to Magnus for Max. So that was pretty cool, man, of you to do that, Ruddy. So pause for the calls, and this Miller's for you. Now it's time to get moving with old Scare Glow, dude. Got another announcement. We got to talk about that, too. Before we get going, so we got a few other things that'll be showing. Let's see what's happening over here. What's up, Trinity? What's going on? What's up, peeps? It's all good, man. Something wonky with my liver last year. Can't drink anymore. Hey, it's all good, Delaney. I've been blessed with the liver of a champion. Thank goodness. Because, Lord, the trials and the battles this liver has fought. But we'll knock on wood before I get caught. You know what I'm saying? But I don't, believe it or not, guys, I really don't slam that many lagers. I mean, I guess during the waffles I do, or during the podcast, or any time that I'm talking about Masters of the Universe, or any other time that I'm not working but actually working on Masters of the Universe stuff. It's all good, man. Shit. Liver doesn't fur me to Mr. Black. That's like I tell my dad, you know, at the point that he actually does go, we can't have him cremated because he just burned forever. They'd never be able to put it out. But anyway, all right, let's get rocking Scared Glow style. We've done laugh too much. You're having too much fun, man. This is not supposed to be fun, dude. This is toy collecting. This is toy collecting. This is not supposed to be fun. Who keeps giving me mad faces? I see them get really upset over those mad faces, man. That's too funny, too. All right, so let's get it on here with the old Scare Glow, dude. So there's Scare Glow. That's what it be. Somebody's mad facing me. Oh, that's too funny, man. All right, so Scareglow style, Karrock Nool. Is it Karrock Nool? Is he the ghost of Skeletor? Is he the evil, ghostly henchman of Skeletor? So as we dig into Scareglow, you're going to ask yourself, which Scareglow do you like? You guys are mad bombing me. That is hilarious. I don't think I've ever seen that many mad faces. That's amazing. That you can click it that fast that many times. Oh, shit. Let's pause for the calls. How about that? Will that get smiley faces, y'all? I now accept your angry faces. Damn, Johnson, this is hot. This information is hot. It's stuff been brewing since 1987, man. So that is when Scareglow made his way into the clan. So 1987, Scareglow introduced End of the Masters line. So really, I think, in my personal opinion, one of the strongest figures of that final line. I do, or that final wave line. I do remember going into Maloney's and looking and finding that figure and just being like, oh my gosh. And so when I first saw him, I don't know really that it jumped out to me that the box or the card back, the burst, and if you look on the card burst of the vintage, it actually says Evil Ghost of Skeletor. So I don't know that that necessarily jumped out at me so much as the fact that you just had this really awesome, really cool skeleton figure that kind of looked like Skeletor, but at the same time, he glows in the dark. So when I saw him and I was taking in everything on the package and looking at that art and just looking at what was going on with that figure, I mean, it was just like an immediate, like, the choice was made. If I can only have one, and I was allowed to have one. So if I could only have one for today, this was the guy that it was going to be. So Scareglow, you know, also holds an important place for me. So Mr. Itis, I feel you there as far as, you know, Stratos is my man. And honestly, Travi Wills broke my heart taking my Naked Bird Man because of the Alcala style. Stratos is just, oh, man, that's where it be. But he is the top of it for me, that particular one, because I love the minis and the mini Eternia and that kind of story part of it. But so anyway, Scareglow was always special to me just in a sense that when I saw him, it was just like, oh my gosh, they have really hit a home run with this particular figure, because it just stands out miles above the other, and there's that purple cape, and that's crazy. And so, you know, just absolutely at that moment, just had to have him. Now, what was interesting is when Scareglow was released. Now, I don't have a Scareglow here. You guys know the rarity of Scareglow. I can tell you that. You know the rarity of that purple cloth cape. You know the rarity of the halberds. You know what it is. But I actually don't have a vintage Scareglow. However, we have this beauty right here, which we're definitely going to talk about in just a moment. So I'm going to let him stand over here and just scare the shit out of y'all while we do this. Okay, no cussing on the podcast, sorry. So, Yo Scareglow, I mean, that original figure, absolutely glorious. But a part of what seemed to be split into two different characteristics with that particular wave. So there were completely new sculpts like Mosquito War and Blast Attack and Sorceress. Those were all just completely new sculpts. We'd never seen anything like that. And then we had the second part of the wave, which was actually parts reuse, or a full parts reuse, which we're very used to seeing in Masters. That's not uncommon at all. However, each of these figures had a newly sculpted head and came with a new weapon. So, for example, Clamp Champ reuses, you know, lots of parts, but has a newly sculpted head. Everything from the neck down, that belongs to somebody else, just like here. And then as far as the head itself, you know, is not allowed to think for itself. Back to the figure. The head was a new sculpt, and then they came with a new weapon. So Scareglow falls into that second category there, where we had a new sculpt for the head. Of course, he had his, you know, just like he has here, the awesome skull, and then the, bam, Harry Potter's crack down that bad boy right there. Benny up in the corner. For y'all pausing with me, y'all know what it be. What's up, Mr. Black? Yeah, what's up, Lewis? Thank you, sir. I don't know, man. I go back sometimes and listen to stuff. I'm like, Johnson, you are not funny, man. you say some things just out there, brother. I don't know. But I appreciate y'all rolling with it, yo. I like talking to y'all and us doing what we do. And try to make it fun and us have a good time and drink a little bit of beer and say a few rhymes. And then it's forever on YouTube and anybody can go see it. And then, oh, Johnson, it be it what it be it. So. Missed my mouth right there, but the beard got it, so it's okay, and the rest went in the carpet, and that's how we played. So, yeah. So, Scareglow, being in that second half, he got the new head. Now, the body of Scareglow is actually Dragon Blaster Skeletor. So, why did they opt to use Dragon Blaster Skeletor's body as opposed to the original? Well, with Skeletor in that later release of Dragon Blaster, and also with Thunder Punch He-Man, we see it where the feet are a little bit bigger. The sculpts or the molds are a little bit bigger with the feet. They stand a little bit better. They work a little bit better. So to balance out the figure, he was done with the Dragon Blaster Skeletor body. Then, of course, the new sculpt on the head. And then he came with a new weapon. Now, the new weapon is actually not a new weapon. It's a parts reuse from the weapons rack that's a part of Castle Grayskull. So the halberd, which actually originally came with Scareglow, he did have a halberd. It is referred to as the Scythe of Doom. So if you guys don't know that, the old Scythe of Doom, much in reference to the Reaper and a Sickle. The halberd was a part of the original weapons rack for Castle Grayskull. Now, the interesting thing is we got that new head. We got that new purple cape. Now, that was freaking sweet. So, he had this soft cloth purple cape. Had around his neck. So, made him look, you know, more ominous and whatnot. But he also had, with that, the halberd. So, now, the halberd came in two different variants. So for you guys that don't know, and if some of you guys, I know you like these vintage folks, you like to collect these different variants of the vintage, and some are worth more than the others. You know how expensive Scareglow is. We talked about it a minute ago. But there is a solid green halberd. Now, this part would also be green. But there is also a glow-in-the-dark halberd. So the solid green one, a little more common than glow-in-the-dark one, at least in the U.S. So I think it's interesting when Classics recreates this thing, they kind of did a blend of both. But we'll get to that in a minute to talk about that. But that's for your variant folks out there. He was packaged with the mini-comic Search for Keldor. So I want to point out that, and this is just interesting as far as the transition and that Scareglow makes over the very small amount of time that we actually got to spend with this amazing figure, this amazing character. You know, being later introduced in the line, you know, he didn't get as much play time as the others, but he was packaged with the Search for Keldor Mini. So, as I said a minute ago, on the cover of the card, on the card back, so you got your card blister, and on the cover of the card blister, it says, Evil Ghost of Skeletor. So, first of all, it's telling us this is the ghost of Skeletor. He is dead. This is the ghost of him. Whoa. Never thought of that as a kid, to be quite honest with you. Saw it on the package, never really thought that much of it. he looked different enough for me, and the fact that he glowed, that just did it. But here's where we find our kicker. Think about this for a second. So we'll have a lot of folks that will argue the fact that this is Skeletor from the multiverse in a time in the future where Skeletor is dead, and Skeletor's reached into the future and pulled him in, and this is the actual ghost of Skeletor. But think about this for a minute. And this is the only example that we have, but it is a good argument for the fact. On Faker's card back, it actually says evil robot of Skeletor. So they're not necessarily saying that it is a robot of Skeletor. They're saying he's the evil robot belonging to or more or less in the service of Skeletor. So I kind of feel like maybe originally the intention would be that Scareglow was actually his own character, but with Masters, with parts reuse, obviously they reused the same parts as Skeletor and casting that beautiful glowing dark stuff. But because of that, and because he is a skull-faced figure, I think we get the bleed over of, you know, this is the ghost of Skeletor. Now, that is the first example, so we see the ghost of Skeletor. Now, the second example we find in the Keldor Mini. So, search for Keldor inside the Mini. If you guys will turn with me in your Motu Bible, it's page 813. Actually, we're going to go to page 809 to begin with. So, 809 in your text, if you'll go over, come here. Okay, there you go. Search for Keldor. So that's that beautiful mini that's packaged there with it. I saw Meme Face Man. I'm not disrespecting nothing. This is a Motu Bible right here. Yawning meme faces. So search for Keldor. What we have here on the cover, if you'll notice, we've got Scareglow, we got Ninjor, and we have Faker. Oh my gosh, guys, this is Faker's very first mini comic appearance. So this is something very interesting. Not to say that he only came with Scareglow. He did not. Faker got a reissue in 1987 along with this wave. So, you know, this mini comic did get packaged in there with him. But he was featured in this mini comic, and this is the first time that Faker made it in. So, if you'll flip over, if you guys actually do have this book, if you don't, you should absolutely get it. But if you go over to 813, what we see is Skeletor is summoning two evil beings in to help him out. So, as he does, always devising some new way, and we got to get Scareglow out of the way. I'm sorry. Scareglow's got to hop out of the way for just a second. It's very important to be able to see if we got to look at this. So what Skeletor says is they think they have the power. He's referencing He-Man and Randor are discussing the fact that, or Adam and Randor are discussing the fact that Clamp Champ, spelled with a K, Clamp Champ, however it is Clamp Champ. There's a lot of interesting facts in there like that. But Clamp Champ has just been appointed to be Randor's bodyguard. And so they're discussing they have the power. Skeletor says they think they have the power. Let them try to see through the veil between dimensions. I have the power to pierce it. So Skeletor reaches into another dimension. So that's very important. Reaches into another dimension and says, I bring the most evil beings of time and space to do my bidding. And he brings in Ninjor and Scareglow. So here was the kicker for me. I don't care what the outside of the packaging said at all. It said evil ghost of Skeletor. Here is where I knew that he was a different character than Skeletor entirely. Because at the point that Skeletor summons Ninjor and Scareglow, Ninjor pops up and he's kind of confused. What? Where am I? He doesn't really know. The very first thing that comes out of Scareglow's mouth is, speak, Skullface, before I scare you to death. Okay? First of all, you don't talk to Skelly like that. Second of all, he lets him know that. So, I am Skeletor, and I shall teach you the meaning of fear. I am the master here. Scareglow bows down and says, yes, master. Okay, first of all, if that was the ghost of Skeletor, the real ghost of Skeletor, he would have never bowed down to Skeletor. Because the ghost of Skeletor would happen later than this point, because he would have to be dead. And there ain't no way he got weaker. He would only get stronger. So, in my little 8-year-old mind, this was a totally different dude, and he bows down to the Skeletor dude. So, no chance of Scareglow taking over as my main baddie. No, sir, no way. Skeletor, you know, dispatches with him. Now, Scareglow plays a pretty prominent role throughout the rest of this entire mini. The interesting thing here is now contradiction number four. Are we on three or four? I don't know. Four at this point, probably. And then we got to go back over here. But I don't know how much more you could make it clear. If you look up here, let's see me get it just right. Who? I am Scareglow, the ghost of Skeletor. So here, he straight up says it. That's who he be. So, I don't know. You can take it from him or you can take it from me. I personally, he was just never the ghost of Skeletor for me. It's, for some people, he is, and that's fine. But there are other places where it doesn't quite rhyme. So, if we look over, let's see. So, one thing I did want to tell you about that artwork is some beautiful Bruce Timm artwork on the front. What we saw in that line is we would get these little splashes on the front of the card where you had, like, the Sorceress doing her thing. You had Randor doing something. You had Scareglow jumping in. So, that was just a really nice addition, that Bruce Timm artwork on the cover of that. Errol McCarthy, of course, did the back, did the stuff with Snout Spout. There's a really cool scene of Scareglow jumping in, the Snout Spout kind of jumping back, and the Hose is jumping back, and I don't know, it's silly, but it's pretty cool. Any of that Errol McCarthy artwork is just amazing. Now, once again, we have some more conflicting information. In the Marvel Star comics, he is presented as Skeletor's ghostly double. So, as his ghostly double in the Star comics. Then we move on to the Motu comic mags. It depicts him as a creature conjured by Skeletor in his own image, but made out of light. So, he was visible only at night because he gave off this eerie glow. In the daytime, he's invisible, but he was Skeletor's ghostly double. So, So there you go, Von Erich Ratliff. He is the ghost in service to Skeletor, which is also another calling. So here it is. Here we have the ghostly double. Now, in Star Motu issue number 7, list him as his ghostly double. In 2002 MV Creations, we would see him as the ruler of an alien dimension. So now this is very interesting because he is listed as the ruler of an alien dimension. And is also listed as, if we follow over in the compendium, talks about a race of Scareglows. So, very, very strange stuff there. With classics, though, we get what I think is probably the most interesting backstory for the character at all. And for me, when, you know, a lot of times with these bios, we don't like them. There's things about them we don't care for. It's just like comics, guys. It's just like when we get new issues of comics or a new line of comics. Motu Thundercat crossover, hated it. I stopped halfway through it. I was disgusted, irritated with the banter, the writing. The artwork was glorious. Freddie Williams did an amazing job on the artwork, but I was so thrown by the story that I couldn't really let myself get through it. But there are different ways that things are presented sometimes that in some cases I feel like it is better than the original, or it expands on the original, or it really just strengthens it or depthens it. And so at times, Netlich and the group there with Maddie, when they were writing these bios, they were really knocking some of these out of the park, some of them not so much. But in this particular case, with classics, when we get to the classics figure, we actually do get not only a beautiful representation of or recreation of the vintage figure, but we get a couple of little extra add-ins for this figure, and just an emphasis or an upgrade on the entire figure. I mean, so he really is just out of the entire line, this guy probably is just one of the showboats of the entire line because he is so beautiful. But such a great job done by the Four Horsemen on the sculpt. The cape is absolutely glorious. There are a couple qualms to be had, especially with the cape. It's a little bit long, so when you go to pause him, or go to pause him, when you go to stand him, you know, we call it pose. When you go to pose them, not pause them. It'd been a minute. I was doing one anyway. When you go to pause them, the cape is just a little bit long and it touches the ground. Now, the cape is cool because it's free floating here, so it does just kind of set on top of the head and on the shoulders, but you can pop the head off or move the cape if you want. You actually don't even really have to. You can work it up and over, but it will come off. I don't really want to do it, to be quite honest with you. I love it the way it is. Now, this nice little add-in is the part that I'm talking about. So this is a very important part of the backstory that Motu Classics gave him. As an individual known as Karak Nul. That's how I like to say it. I don't know how to pronounce it. Karak Nul, Karak Nul. I don't know. I like Karak Nul. But Karak Nul, he was actually a bounty hunter. And he was utterly obsessed with the legends of Grayskull. And in particular, the fact that you could become the master of the universe with the secrets that are located within Grayskull. So as a bounty hunter and as sort of a nefarious character, Karak Nul spent his time trying to break into Castle Grayskull and trying to get the secrets for himself. And because of that, he was damned and was actually sent to Infinita and chained for his crimes. And so this interesting little piece here was a part of the story that he found, I can't remember what they actually called it. More or less, he found a key to a secret entrance to Grayskull within this, I think it was called obituary, I can't remember, but he found it. And that was supposedly to a secret entrance to Grayskull. However, he searched and searched and never found the key. So if you open that, you will see that there is the key to Grayskull. So on your classics playset, there's your key to Grayskull. So inside of this, very awesome touch, very cool ad by the Four Horsemen. He is chained forever to his destiny by being who he be. It is Karak Nul, you see. So the battery is now telling me here that it is going to go to sleep if I do not plug it in soon on Mama's Mac. So got a couple little things I need to say real quick, and we'll let y'all go because that was the end of story time, bro. So it was very cool that the Horseman added that in. Of course, we got the Halberd too. Fits in this open hand, so it's very cool. That's the original open hand for Skeletor, but this item was crafted to fit inside it. So it's just one of those beautiful, amazing touches that the Horsemen add to the line. Now, Thirsty Thursday, tomorrow night, we're going to do this guy. Mr. Itis gave us the go-ahead, said, hey, you know what? You guys want to go ahead and do it? Here's what we'll do. I'm going to get myself another Scareglow for you. So for tomorrow night, we're going to do this Scareglow. We're going to give him away. And then when you come back on the 31st for all this stuff for Mr. Itis, we're going to do it again, you say. So we're doing the Toys for Tots thing on the 31st on Mr. Scareglow's birthday. Johnson had to speed it up because battery's running out. It's 10%. Got to speed up your mouth. We're going to do all this awesome stuff. This killer Poteet piece. What do you know? Featuring our good buddy Scareglow. So, Mr. Itis, that's cool. Appreciate that. Got to get this out there, too. WaffleCon, we got that coming up, guys. That is coincides with Lexington Comic Con. That's coming up here soon. We are already getting into March tomorrow. So next week for the podcast, I'm going to have E-Daddy, Eric Glenn, come on. Tell us about WaffleCon. Tell us what all is going on and what the agenda for that place be. And then... other than that, man, I hope to see some of y'all in Lexington. I think it's going to be awesome with the Comic-Con, and we're going to put together WaffleCon and have a good time and roll up and force and do what we do and just be the good old mafia, fools. So I love you guys. Thanks for hanging with me for another podcast. We made it do what it do. And like I said, big shout-out to Mr. Itis for letting us do what we do. So with his blessing, we're doing this bad boy tomorrow night. We'll do it our Thirsty Thursday style, the way we've been doing for the last little bit. And I'll throw a promo out tomorrow for when you can jump in. And then we'll have another one to do by the end of the month. So that is two chances to get yourself a Scareglow, son. So appreciate you guys hanging with me and us doing what we do. It has been the Waffle Mafia Podcast. I pause for all of you. There's that pause, and that's what it be. Thank you guys for hanging with me. We'll see you tomorrow night, guys. Thirsty Thursday, we'll get it in. We'll see y'all. Get up on that spin. Oh, look at that pause for the cause. Y'all know what it be. We'll see you later. Thirsty Thursday. Thank you.